The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
It is Sunday night. Must be time to talk some baseball. We'll be right at you with the next coming up next on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Happy Sunday evening, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by Fantrax, the most customizable free commission service in fantasy sports, and also by Underdog Fantasy, home of the biggest best ball contest in the industry. It is Sunday night. I'm Scott Jensen, joined as always on Sundays by Jeff Erickson. Jeff, one of these weeks, once we get games going, I'm going to not butcher the opening blurb before we do the intro.
Yeah, and I'll try to do the same later on in the week as I get two bites of that apple.
I was like, whenever we have games on, like I can always come up with something like that just happened in the day. And here I'm like, oh, what can I say funny really fast? And I just mess it up. And it's like, it happens. But how are you this Sunday evening? What is it, February 19th here?
Great. I feel like I'm scrambling to get caught up on everything. It's not for bad reasons. It's good. I had FSGA during the week, the FSGA conference in Vegas. Nice.
How was that?
Good. It was really fun. And then, but a whirlwind, because then I had to hustle back Friday morning. I missed a couple sessions on Friday because of that, but it's only because I had Joe Sheehan and my friend Jason Gray, who used to be on ESPN. Now he's a scout with the Rays, and our friend Dave Donovan, who is not in the industry, but a super great, awesome guy. And we did our annual golf weekend. So very good times, including a round at Oak Quarry yesterday, which is my favorite track in Southern California, at least among those publicly available.
Did Jason let you know who's going to get the most saves for the Rays this year?
He did not. I did not. I know not to ask him anything.
I'm kidding. The only reason I ask is I know you don't ask him. So
yeah, but I am buying in on Pete Fairbanks. In fact, did we start
as a pitcher or as a closer with a lot of saves?
A closer with a plurality of saves, at least, and I think that has value. This is in the FSGA league that I did that we started on Thursday at the FSGA conference. It was a live slow draft, if that makes any sense. We got through 12 rounds in 2.5 hours, and then we're doing the rest.
People just like chatting and screwing around, or why does it take so long?
A little bit of that. A 2 minute clock, and they can extend the clock if need be. I'll retweet the board after the show, and because we'll start back up on doing like slow draft picks to finish out the draft. Finish out half the active roster and then the reserves, but still. And it's like some people that I think haven't drafted yet and are still learning the player pool or learning RT Sports's draft system. There's some growing pains always involved there. Plus, drinks are served. Matt Deutsch from Better Network is there. Matt Deutsch used to be the SiriusXM Fantasy program director. Now he started his own streaming network. And so he was doing interviews, so we'd get up and like talk about our picks and things like that. So
yeah, that'll slow it down a little bit.
A little bit there, but honestly, it's fine. Knowing it's a February draft, it's $50 entry fee, so it's not completely casual, but it's mostly casual.
I feel like I'm lower on Fairbanks than everybody. Everybody seems to love Fairbanks except for me. Do you think he became a different pitcher in his 24 innings last year, or something you think that he changed because? It was only 24 innings last year, and I don't love the 2019, 2020, 2021 stuff. But obviously, it was awesome last year, but it was only 24 innings. Do you think he changed something, or you just think he flipped a switch? Because he walked a lot of guys before that.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he got better control, so I think that's a part of it.
The walk rate dropped. You never see walk rates drop like that, so they must have changed something, obviously.
Well, not only that, but the Rays paid him.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. And honestly, I hate to appeal to too much authority here, but the Rays aren't a dumb team. If they're going to pay a relief pitcher, chances are they believe he's for real at the very least. They make mistakes like anybody else. He could get hurt. That's still a possibility. He walked three guys in those 24 innings. It wasn't just that he improved. It was massively improved. Three walks in 24 innings is
from 11% to 3.5%, which is just a jump you don't see very often.
Yeah. In those 24 games, he picked up 8 saves. I'm not going to extrapolate and say he gets 24 or something, but at the same time, I think I did project him for 21.
He's going to be a hot name in March. I think he's going to move up. I think his ADP is going to be pretty irrelevant when we do main event drafts. I think he's going to go way higher than ADP.
I think he goes in the top 10 rounds.
I was going to say, I think he goes before we take a break and take that 10-minute break. I think Fairbanks will be off the board in all those drafts.
I agree.
So I want to do last week we did I'm going to mess it up. We did early starting pitchers and late hitters. I want to flip that a little bit, but I don't want to do early hitters because everybody does early hitters. Everybody knows all those hitters. I want to do mid-round hitters. I picked a lot of younger guys. I think really interesting. There's only so much you can say about someone like DJ LeMahieu or something like that. I picked a lot of younger guys that I think are interesting from an ADP angle. So I'm going to do hitters in the ADP range, kind of 150 to 250, somewhere in there, kind of the mid-rounds, which I think are very important rounds. And then we're going to talk later pitchers, so pitchers in the second half of the draft. So pick 225 and after. So I got a bunch of names in there. But first, a few news and notes. So we have pitchers and catchers. I'm losing it. Reporting to spring training this week. We actually got a couple pieces of real news. Lance McCullers is probably the most concerning. They didn't say exactly what's going on with him, but temporary shutdown from throwing is never what you want to hear from a guy who's had many, many issues in the past.
Yeah, it's the forearm again. He only threw 47 innings last year in the regular season, 8 starts, 28 starts the year before that. But then, so he had 2 full seasons, 2020 and 2021. Keep in mind, we only played 60 games in 2020. But he made 11 starts in those, but only 55 innings. He didn't throw a ton of innings. You naturally think you have to kind of knock him down. I've got him projected for 21 starts now, 119 innings. So
that's after this news.
Yes. Okay. I downgraded him a little bit there. And I bumped up Hunter Brown, they might go 6-man anyhow, but he's the guy that certainly benefits the most. If McCullers is out, it's going to be Hunter Brown that gets is going to get the step up. I may have a few too many innings for him right now. I may have to adjust that a little bit, but I have him for 24 starts and 30 outings total. So, and he's a guy who is already getting a little bit of buzz in fantasy baseball Twitter. For good reason. He's really good, or at least he has been really good lately.
He's the guy whose mechanics look exactly like Verlander, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I was thinking of the right guy. Yeah, he was fun when he came up last year. Obviously, pitched really well, but obviously he made 2 starts and 7 appearances overall. But it's not fair that the Astros maybe lose him to injury and they have someone like Hunter Brown just to slide in there.
Yeah. That it is, and they probably have like 2 or 3 other guys behind him. For all we know,
there's a reason good teams are good.
Yeah, exactly.
The other one was Jacob DeGrom, and I don't think this is maybe quite as much of a big deal, but it is Jacob DeGrom, so people will obviously react. He has a tightness in his side. He did actually resume workouts today. Apparently, he looked really good in his workouts today. Of course, he did, but not expected to pitch week 1 of spring training. I don't really think this moves the needle very much as of yet. It's spring training's long. He's always someone that, it could happen any pitch, but I don't know. I wasn't as worried about this as some people were. If he's pitching in spring training in week 2, I think he goes to the same place of super risky, but super high upside.
Wayne, were you worried about him prior to this?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think this changed my evaluation of him is what I'm trying to say.
Sure. I kind of think the same.
I saw some talk that his ADP is going to crash and he went like 40th there's $1,000 DC going on right now. But I think that was just like exact right timing of when it happened the day after. But I don't think this changes very much. If he's throwing 100 in spring training, it's going to happen. I think the price is going to go up a little bit. He's still going to be the same guy as he was. He always is. He'd either be awesome or get hurt. It's one of the two.
Yeah, I was not going to pay the end of the second round ADP on him already, as it was.
If he's throwing 100 in spring training, he won't get there anyway.
No, and so I won't get him, period.
Yeah, I won't either.
Yeah. And I could rue that day. I really could.
But can I say something on that?
Please do.
Will you though? Like, you're going to take another stud in that range. Like, you may rue it if the person you take gets hurt or something like that. But like, if DeGrom goes 16th or something like that, I mean, you're taking awesome players around there. I don't think you have that much regret from my first second round
pick. Yeah. Yeah.
Granted, if he pitches, he makes 28 starts. He's the number one player overall, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, there's times I remember Kershaw 1 year, that just, yep. He had the Australia game and he got a little banged up.
I forgot about that series. That's right.
And he got a little hurt, shut down maybe. And he dropped about to the third round. And then he had this total awesome Cy Young year.
I remember that. I had the eighth pick that year, and I liked eight guys, and he was one of them. He got hurt, and then there were suddenly seven guys I liked, and I had pick eight. But someone actually took Kershaw early in my league. It was like the only league where he stayed where he was. I don't know if the guys didn't really see the news or didn't care. But yeah, it was awesome. Those Australia games were like 2 weeks early and counted, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I remember being in spring training, and they were playing those games. It was so early. It was wild.
It was horrible. Yeah. Just horrible.
And they played it in like a weird like rugby cricket-looking stadium. I remember it was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our friend Brad Ziegler, I remember, was on the Diamondbacks then. So he went over there for that trip. I do remember that. Some other news, Elvis Andrus, back with the White Sox. Sounds like he's going to play second base. Not surprising here. I mean, he was really good for them last year, surprisingly enough. And the White Sox didn't have a second baseman. Seems like a pretty easy fit here for a guy who it took a long time to sign.
Yeah. He was so good down the stretch.
Unbelievably good.
Yeah. I got him in one league, and I think Shu kind of pushed me in that direction. I got to give him credit. It's good having a co-manager that you trust. Make sure you never miss out on a guy in Fab, or at least it's hard to. I wouldn't say never, but you get it's a lot easier to catch things.
Yeah. He was 17 home runs, 18 stolen bases last year. That is astonishing.
Yeah.
And I feel like zero of those were for the A's.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was weird how bad he was with the A's and how good he was with the White Sox. Now, he's been free so far in drafts. Like, pick 373 is his ADP in the last 3 weeks. How about after this signing? What does that do for you?
I probably am still not paying that much attention to it. I'm looking at his stats here. I guess he was 8-7 for the A's in 386 plate appearances. Then he was 9-11 for the White Sox and 191 plate appearances. Yeah, so that was about right. Yeah, it was an unbelievable stretch. I'm probably still not buying it. Are you?
I'm gonna think about it there. I mean, I think he's an end game. I mean, he's your middle or he's your first reserve. That's fine there. If he gets got playing time's a currency in a 15-year, right?
I mean, Do you think he moves up before the second break, so a top 20 round pick now?
It's possible. I mean, he has gone as early as 250 in some drafts. Okay. So, but yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to need a little bit of attrition. We're going to need like, he's definitely starting at second base.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
I mean, it seems like that was pretty close to what they're doing. I think Romy Gonzalez was the projected second baseman at one point earlier today. I looked at roster resources to see who the heck Andrus was replacing. I mean, I think it's a pretty easy slide in. I don't know where he hits, though, is the question, because they obviously have Tim Anderson back. They signed Benintendi. Mm-hmm. That kind of takes care of the top four. And you got Moncada. You got Andrew Vaughn, who we're talking about in a little bit. That was a good tease. He's got to hit like eighth or ninth is the problem here. Because he was hitting leadoff a bunch for them last year.
I could foresee a scenario where Benintendi is at the bottom of the lineup against lefties and Andrus up there against against lefties. Or just Benintendi getting moved down period. I am nonplussed by Andrew Benintendi.
You know I am nonplussed by Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah. He's their big free agent acquisition. Yeah. Signed him for like a 4-year deal, and just like the Yankees trading for him last year, what am I missing here? I mean, he's an on-base guy, kind of, but no power behind it. He doesn't have a good arm, so it's not like defense is a huge calling card for him either.
I guess he hit 304 last year, but that was a huge BABIP year and still five home runs and 520 plate appearances. I don't see it. I guess your point about on-base is fair, although the year before he had a 324 on-base, so... Mm-hmm.
Not even that is reliable. Yeah.
Yeah. Your kinda is where that comes into play. I just think he's just a guy. I was surprised how much he signed for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I guess against lefties, you could move Andrus up and he could hit first or second there. That's it's wild. But yeah, they needed a second baseman. I think it works pretty well for them. I just still can't believe how good he was last year. Some other news we got. Felix Bautista, a little bit of a slow start. The presumed closer for the Orioles, a little bit of a slow start. Neck and shoulder soreness. Sounds like it's just kind of stuff that he's been dealing with in the offseason. They had a note today, expected to be in game ready by mid-March. So by the time we do some of the bigger drafts, drafts in Vegas, main event drafts, we should know that he's maybe had two or three outings. I think that as long as he had two or three or four outings before we draft, he probably goes pretty close back to where he was.
I have a feeling it's not backed by anything, but this is the type of, he'll probably be ready by mid-March and he's back by mid-May sort of type of thing.
Mid-May would not be good.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
It's weird that this soreness didn't go away in the offseason though, right?
Right. And this sort of thing lingers and he'll throw in a couple games and it's going to be fine. There'll be no setbacks. Everything's great. It's two different things too. It's knee and arm fatigue.
Knee and arm. There you go. I said neck and arm. Yeah. Knee and arm. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't even hear that you said neck. So you could have just let yourself go on that one there.
No, I would never.
No one would have called you out on that.
I would never do that, Jeff.
No, never. It does quell my interest a little bit at prices. I mean, the thing is, you're spending that much on a closer, you can't have doubt. I know it's a long season, but I guarantee, if you're spending a top 100 pick on a closer, you want him to be ready to go for the start of the season. Yeah. You want to be sure that, they're not going to mess around and say, we're going to ease him in a little bit, or, we're going to monitor his workload or something like that.
The reason you take a closer there is to eliminate that doubt because you don't want to deal with it. His ADP the last 3 weeks is 65. There's a max pick of 136 now, probably the day of the news. So, not only top 100, but pretty far inside the top 100. I imagine that'll fall back a little bit. But I think that what his two or three outings look like, if he has them before later drafts in March, will affect that price a lot. But, I'm with you. It definitely makes me a little worried about saying his name in the fifth round. That's for darn sure.
Yeah. I would take Presley for sure over him. I already am. So for whatever that's worth, I'll sacrifice some strikeouts when it's getting the saves. Yeah. I don't really care. I mean, it's the strikeout. I don't completely dismiss K's, but when I'm looking for a closer, I want to get and the funny thing is algos are always going to pick up on the high strikeout guys first without really putting a number value on, just security of job. And he has a little less security of job because of that. But the next closer goes in the last 3 weeks, and this is on the RotoWire Online Championship, 19 leagues, is Helsley. And we talked about Helsley, we got some uncertainty there too. And there's a kind of a gap after that. You gotta go dot, dot, dot. And you gotta go down to Camilo Duvall. Hey, Gabe Kapler, what could possibly go wrong there? It's a kind of a hanky little area. Then Kenley Jansen after that.
You got some Kenley right in there too, who, not quite the upside of these guys, but the security and the jobs probably pretty significantly higher in Boston. There's nobody else in that bullpen.
Yeah, but, and I got to bring this up, and we haven't talked about this yet, but there's MLB announced this past week that they're going to emphasize calling balks. Kenley Jansen is a prime candidate to get hurt by that. If you look at how his step-offs go, his little herky-jerkiness, and the amount of time he takes, and now he's going to be rushed. I got a little bit of concern there, too.
Anyone want to see more box call, Jeff?
I want to see more box and more – I want to see more offsides and more false starts. Let's throw some taunting in there, too.
At least – taunting's the worst. That's a whole
more travels, thing. More doubles, offside, more balls.
Impacts the play. Like, more box would be just an awful – please don't do that.
Yeah. More icing in hockey. We need this. Definitely.
It's so crazy. It's boggling. Boggles my mind that that's what they choose to focus on. I saw the same report you did and I just shook my head. I'm like, nobody.
And they mean it.
80% of people don't know what a balk is or what the rule is. So it's just confusing for people. You got random people at games, not knowing why the guy's going first or second. It's a mess.
Yeah.
Call the super obvious ones that actually impact what's going on and just move on.
Thank you. But it's like everything else in any sport with replays involved too. Like Was his foot off the bag for this microsecond? Oh, he's out now. What's a catch? You know,
we got the pizza box base now, so we don't have to worry about that anymore, right?
There's always something to worry about. There's always the unintended consequences.
Always.
I look forward to the day when we get the 5-minute delays in basketball that are in basketball right now. Bring them over to baseball again. That was fun too.
I feel like baseball replay takes all replays. I think take a little bit too long. Like if you see it once, if it's obvious, let's switch it. If not, let's move on.
Agreed.
Last bit of news before we jump into our player talk here. Yankees had a bunch of kind of, you know, throwing out some news there. It sounds like at least Aaron Boone visualizes Josh Donaldson starting at third. We talked about Donaldson last week. We're talking about late hitters. Gleyber Torres at second and DJ LeMay, who kind of playing the rover role. I think he's what he called it, kind of moving around. You got enough guys there that if LeMay, who stays healthy and he's playing well, there's going to be plenty of time between Donaldson needs a day off. Stanton will get hurt. The question is, this funny though, because he mentioned third, second, and LeMay, he was a rover. He mentioned Rizzo at first. Didn't mention shortstop at all. And it seems like maybe that's Oswald Peraza. You know, if they're not and mention a name, maybe he's the guy there. I don't know who else it would be. I guess it could be Cabrera too, but it seems like maybe Peraza will have that first shot for playing shortstop for the Yankees.
Yeah, I think it's noteworthy they're not considering Torres at short.
Me too.
I think that's the takeaway for me.
The fact they mentioned every other position and just kind of left them out there, but mentioned five names seems pretty interesting.
Yeah. It also means that IKF is not, his chances of playing are not completely dead, but mostly dead.
I think I'd rather watch box than watch IKF hit anymore.
Yeah, I think Yankee fans are feeling the same way there. I mean, there's Peraza, there's Cabrera, there's
IKF. You run IKF on there on opening day at shortstop, there's going to be a full Yankee fan riot.
Yeah. It'd
be fun Twitter, though.
Yeah, at least from the outfield seats. All the corporate seats that are close to the field won't show up to the fifth inning, so they won't notice.
It's true. They do have really good fans in the outfield, though. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
I like the roll call and all that. They have good fans out there. As long as you're not wearing a Red Sox hat, they get good fans out there. But so let's jump into some mid-round hitters. But first, a quick note from our sponsors at Underdog. The fantasy baseball season is underway. There's no better place to play than Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy baseball. Right now, Underdog has MLB best ball tournaments live, including the Dinger, which has $500,000 in total prizes. In best ball, all you do is join a contest, draft your team, and that's it. There's no waivers, no trades, and no in-season management. You draft 20 rounds of players and get the best cumulative scores in your starting lineup, which is 3 pitchers, 3 infielders, 3 outfielders, and 1 flex every single week of the regular season. Getting started is simple. Go to underdogfantasy.com, sign up the promo code RWMLB. Not only will Underdog double your initial deposit up to $100, you also get 6 months of our RotoWire subscription for free. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy, promo code RWMLB. Draft your $100,000 dinger team today. All with Underdog.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, Jeff, let's talk about some mid-round hitters. I think this is really where you get some interesting names. Like I said before, I think we all know the hitters in the first 10 rounds. We'll do as we get into March, we'll do a target episode, an our guys episode. We'll do a fade episode also. So we'll kind of talk about some guys earlier. But I want to talk about the mid-round guys here. Like I said earlier, I kind of picked some younger guys just because they're a little more interesting to talk about. First one I got is from the Cal Bears, is Andrew Vaughn, White Sox. He's picked about, I'm using the last 3 weeks of draft champions, just kind of a ballpark ADP. His ADP is 151. Last year, he had 555 plate appearances, hit 271, 17 home runs, 76 RBI. Barrel rate fell a little bit, but hard hit went up. He was a 90th percentile hard hit guy last year, 48.5%. He's got a really nice strikeout rate for someone with that pretty decent pop. His strikeout rate last year was only 17%, really low number in today's baseball for a guy with some pop. Where are you with Andrew Vaughn? I mean, this is full price. It's the 10-11 turn. It's he's pretty high up there. But where are you on Vaughn as we enter 2023 here?
He's like type of guy that I feel like, okay, he's had certain times major leaguers need X number of accumulated plate appearances. Maybe it's 1,000, maybe it's 600, something like that. And then the light turns on. I feel like that's the case with Vaughn. The only thing is, he slumped down the stretch. His overall numbers could have looked a lot better if they took out the last 2 weeks of the season. Really fell apart down the stretch. Dropped like 50 points OPS in the last 2 weeks. But aside from that, I'm on board with him. I think he's a very nice target when you're looking for waiting on first base a little bit there. I think that's a fun little area to kind of get your first baseman. There are others there, but I also, you get at first and outfield eligibility.
Always
I
nice.
Think that. Yeah. I think he's in a better spot in the lineup this year. And there's just no doubt where he's going to play. He is at first base, period. Jose Abreu is gone. Yep. Vaughn moves up a spot in the order too. Let's don't forget about that. I think that helps too. And Tony La Russa is gone. Honestly, I think that's a huge thing for him.
I do too. It's funny. As we go through some of these guys, I find that I like some of them and I don't like some of them. So it's not all like, guys I want to talk about because I like them. I do really like Vaughn. I just think he's a really sound hitter. I don't think you're going to get a, 42 home run season or anything like that. He's got no speed, but I think he's just going to be really solid. When you get a guy who strikes out that little, the batting average, there's a batting average floor in there. He hit 271 last year. Like you said, should play every day, should hit, fifth or sixth, kind of maybe depending on how other guys in the lineup are going. But, fifth or sixth in that lineup, good home park. Hits a decent amount of fly balls. So I think the home runs will come in that park. Really like Vaughn at this price.
I do too. I think I will have some, and he might even creep up a little bit, but I'm okay with that too.
Although as pitchers creep up a little bit too, some of these hitters kind of usually tend to stay the same, even the ones that are the people like.
Yeah. I think we talked, maybe it was with Fred. I thought I might've done it with you. Crone, Walker, and Andrew Vaughn are kind of in group together. I think actually I did it with Fred because we were doing kind of a 1v1, except in this case we did 1v1v1 on like players in like draft spots. So, you get if you miss out like some of the top tier first basemen, you're getting around nine. Let me ask you this question. CJ Crone, Christian Walker, Andrew Vaughn, who do you have?
My answer would be I kind of like this range getting one of these guys. I would go Crone third. I go Walker and Vaughn pretty close. It depends on what I needed. If I needed a little more pop, I'd probably go Walker. If I need a little more batting average, I'd go Vaughn. But I do like those two guys a little more than Crone. I just like the fact they strike out less, maybe give you a little more of a batting average floor.
And maybe less ballpark dependent too.
Yeah. Coors probably helps the batting average also, but I think it's a really good little pocket of three guys here. If you do run out, don't get a first baseman early. This is a good range where you want to make sure that if you don't have one, maybe it's a good time to focus in and get one. Cause those are three pretty good options at the price.
Yeah, for sure.
All guys hit the ball hard. And Vaughn doesn't strike out very much. Walker actually doesn't strike out a ton either. As much batting average struggles as he's had, still under 20% strikeout rate last year. I was surprised by the number.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's some positive growth there.
Yeah, we've been Christian Walker fans on this podcast, so I think that he had a rough batting average this year at 242, but 36.94, and backed up by all the hard hit metrics. I like all these guys too.
Yeah.
Next guy I want to talk about, ADP is about 170, third baseman in Pittsburgh, Ke'Bryan Hayes, who had some prospect hype and came up and hit really well that first little cup of coffee he had in the majors. Hard hit rate was actually good, but he just hit so many ground balls. They just didn't hit a lot of home runs. Doesn't get a lot of barrels. His barrel rate's under 4%, 28% fly ball rate, just kills the power, explains why, hits the ball hard, but not a lot of barrels. He had 20 stolen bases last year, though, so kind of that really propped up his value. Only 7 home runs and 41 RBI, which really hurt from a corner position. I guess my question for you is, do you think the stolen bases remain? Do you think 20 is a spot he can get to? Obviously, we've got the new rules, maybe help him a little bit. But what are you doing at this price? His ADP is about 170.
I'd like to say that
that's exactly how I feel about Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Yeah, I'd like to say that there's I should hope for some growth here. It's just so little power though. Yeah.
And year over year, little power. It's not like it was just a weird down power year last year.
It's like you would have to get a second baseman with power and not speed and pair him with Hayes.
Yeah.
To get this, catch up on the speed. I understand third base is thin, so I get the appeal of like getting something that someone that does anything pretty good in this range. But give me Matt Chapman over Hayes. And Chapman goes just only a little bit ahead of him. Chapman's at, you know, ADP in the last 3 weeks, at least in RotoWire Online Championship Leagues, is 162 and Hayes is 167. I mean, that's, I'm going to take Chapman every time there. If you scroll, there is a gap after that among third base eligible guys though. So that's, you go all the way down to Alec Bohm at 196. Right. So that's a gap. I guess the whole thing is if you don't want to go in that, if you don't want to miss a third baseman, go down to the Bohm range, prioritize it. Make sure you get the one that you want instead of taking the last in this tier. I mean, otherwise, then you're like speculating on Jordan Walker or you're going farther down Josh Rojas. And you can see it's definitely a drop in quality.
Matt Chapman had the 10th highest hard hit rate in baseball last year.
Yeah, and I love the, you know, the park change should help him as much as anyone. Fly ball hitter, hard hit rate's high. They moved the left center in, although that made the fences taller in the process. But nonetheless, I think he's a target for me this year.
I just, if he could just cut the strikeouts a little bit, he just, he could actually cut him the last 3 years. He got from 35% to 32% down to 27.5%. If he cut that at all, I mean, that batting average just has killed him the last 3 years, but he cuts it all. The amount of hard contact he has, just put the ball in play. Like he just, yeah. It's right there. He just like needs to fix one little thing, you know, a few more line drives, a few less fly balls, a little less strikeouts. He could pop so nicely too.
Well, not only that, but then like the defensive alignment rules might help him a little bit too. So batting average doesn't hurt as much. I think it's going to help every single batter, but just, I think I'm more positively inclined towards Chapman. Certainly I would take him before Hayes. I would, unless I'm just dying for stolen bases at this point.
We're going to talk about someone that might fix those stolen bases in a few minutes, though. So hold on.
Okay, that's a tease.
You like that? Next up in Atlanta, Vaughn Grissom has been the a lot of chatter in this offseason. Like a lot of people are like, are they really going to start him at short? Is he going to sign somebody? Obviously, Dansby Swanson left. Grissom had his debut last year in the majors, 156 plate appearances, 5 home runs, 5 stolen bases, hit 291. Hard hits, pretty blah. Barrel rates, pretty blah. The K rate, has been really good in the minors, jumped up in the majors to 22%. But you think the, you know, it's a first time around kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Where do you follow Grissom? Because 170 feels a little bit high to me for what I saw. I mean, he had 27 stolen bases in the minors last year. So I guess you're paying for the speed here. He's not super fast, 59th percentile sprint speed. My question is, do you really think they buy him at shortstop full time? And where does he hit? Because I think it might be ninth to start.
I think that's possible. I saw some discussion on him on in fantasy Twitter about, and I love how I'm just genericizing.
It was a wild week in fantasy Twitter this week. Fantasy baseball Twitter finally got going this week.
Yeah, it did. But some chatter about him maybe starting the year in the minors, but I don't see it, Scott.
Does Orlando Arcia play shortstop then? I mean, no, I guess I was asking you who, and I guess that's the answer.
I'm looking at Arcia, Adrianza, or Hechavarria. Yeah, I don't think so. I think he'd
have to look horrible in spring, right?
That's exactly what I was just about to say. Yeah. Yeah. He would have to completely flop to be sent down, in my opinion. Yeah. They kind of cleared the runway, didn't they? Yeah. I mean, by letting Dansby walk, and I don't think they aggressively tried to keep Dansby. So,
yeah, I mean, Grissom hit.
Correct me if I'm wrong, if you're listening and you're a Braves fan and you like, you know otherwise, but I don't think they really tried hard to keep Dansby.
Yeah, and I think that it didn't seem like it. I just think that, and we talked about maybe he tanks in spring, but I think you have to tank in spring and then probably tank in April also. Like I think that he did enough last year, both in the minors and majors, that I think they give him a shot. No, I mean, if he sucks all through April, and he's hitting 195. Sure, maybe something different, but I think at least the first month, and I think as long as he's fine, I just they don't have anybody that is really pushing him. I just don't think.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I don't even know who's out there like a veteran wise to go address. I mean, you know, there's nobody out there.
Elvis Andrus.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah. And 2 hours ago, that might have been the answer. But yeah. In Cincinnati land, Jonathan India won. He won the Rookie of the Year 2 years ago, right? Yes, he did. Down year last year, 249, 10 home runs, 3 stolen bases, and 431 plate appearances. Hard hit rate crashed. It was really bad. He was down to 28%. He was fifth percentile in hard hit rate last year. I guess my question for you, you're the Reds guy. I don't think he was ever healthy last year, first of all, but he was 21-12 in 2021. So it was really good. Plays in a great home ballpark. Where are you at, Jonathan India, as a Reds fan and a fantasy person these days?
As a Reds fan, I hope he turns it around. I probably won't be on my watch. I think his ADP's almost dropped in the last 3 weeks. I'm seeing on the online championship, his min pick is 172. He's got a tight range, tight, as Tuco Salamanca would say, tight, tight, tight. He's at 172 to
you say Troy Tulowitzki would say, who'd you say?
Breaking Bad. You've seen Breaking Bad. Come on.
It's a long story, but I only got 4 episodes in. My wife was pregnant. She quit because once the bathtub fell through with the acid. So we never got through it.
Barely, because he was in season 1. So that's interesting. Range of 172 to 208. You never
That really is pretty tight.
Yeah, it's super tight.
You're not buying a full bounce back. This just last year was an injury health mess and he's back to the guy he was in 2021.
I think he could be, but I don't count on him staying healthy. Partially, I could see the argument that the hard hit rate metrics were all bad because he was playing hurt.
As I looked through it, that was my only kind of explanation for what happened here.
Yeah, but I also don't. If you look at his minor league career, he was a slow cook prospect. He never really got it, and then during the extended or whatever the alternate training site camp, I guess like the light clicked on for him and he was adjusting to a new position then, and so he didn't get called up that year, but he made big strides. But before that, he was kind of that high draft pick that really never like dominated like he should have. So he could have been regressing back to that mean last year too. I think that's a possibility. Counting stats are going to be bad because the team is bad. You're going to lose out on runs and RBI to other guys. But then again, I mean, that's probably all reflected in the price too. It's kind of like an efficient market. There's a lot of second basemen in this range too. So often I've been like, if you give them to me at 200, sure, I'll take it. But I could take Brandon Drury just the same. I could take Cronenworth just the same. I like India better than Luis Arias while I continue to scroll down. I like him better than Josh Rojas. Kettle Marte, actually, I'm kind of intrigued by a little bit way down there at 214. Point is, there's a lot of second baseman. I'm not going to make a priority to identify him and jump this price a little bit, but if he's the one that falls, sure, I'll take him.
Perfect. That's as a Reds fan, that's good to get your input on that one. Let's jump into the catcher market for a second. Danny Jansen's an interesting guy to talk about. His ADP is about 182. Mm-hmm. Hit 260 last year, only 248 plate appearances. He was hitting well. Then he got hurt. Then he came back, and it was rough. And then, but huge hard hit numbers. And you kind of have seen his name get buzzed about on fantasy baseball Twitter. We mentioned that a couple times. But 46.5% hard hit rate, 13% barrel rate last year. Dropped his K rate under 18%. So a lot of really good numbers. Here's a situation where this is not a discount. This is pick 182. You're drafting really good players around here. And he's got, I do like the profile, but you've got Alejandro Kirk, who's going to catch some, also DH, but they signed Brandon Belt, who's going to probably, DH a bunch also, especially against righties. Vlad's obviously going to play at all times. How do you feel about Jansen in terms of the playing time, the player, and in this price at 182?
I like him. I kept him, I think, in XFL, or at least I went out and got him in XFL way back in November. The Varsho trade is good because Varsho's not going to catch. So this opens up more playing time because that's one less catcher. They traded away a catcher, obviously, in that one.
Gabriel Moreno.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Thank you for identifying that. So I think Jansen plays a goodly amount because Alejandro Kirk's going to DH a lot too.
Yeah.
And Jansen can play. Remember, Jansen was the it Toronto prospect at one point in time. He finally seems like he's gotten it a little bit more. I think he's a solid player. I think he's in that whole like could become the next Sean Murphy type of player.
That's I mean, I would certainly take that at the price. I just I mean, you look at his numbers, he can hit the ball hard. There's no doubt about that. And I think the not dropping his K rate 4% is a really nice thing, you know, boost that batting average up because he's not fast, not going to have a huge BABIP. He hit 223 in 2021, but you cut those strikeouts, you keep hitting the ball hard is why he, you see, you look up and he hit 260 last year.
Yeah.
Next on my list is a guy that I thought I was going to be very in on, took a closer look at, and I am not so in on, is Oscar Gonzalez with the Guardians. ADP is about 190 to 195, pretty decent rookie campaign last year, 296, 11 home runs, 43 RBI in 382 plate appearances. K rate was a bit worse in the majors, but still really good at 19.6%. I actually think Oscar Gonzalez has an approach problem. And if I look at it and see it, I think teams are going to figure him out a little bit. He was first percentile in chase rate last year.
Yeah. He will swing the bat. There's no doubt about it.
His chase rate was 46.5% last year. The average MLB average is 28.5%. Like, he was 20% higher and never walks. So, like, he feels like a guy to me that just is swinging. He's getting his hacks off. I just think pitchers are going to figure that out. I mean, he feels to me like a guy that is going to struggle early. The pitchers are going to adjust. He's going to have to adjust back. And it's always a game, especially with young guys. I think I'm out in Gonzalez's price, and kind of surprised me because I liked him last year. I liked what I saw when I watched him play. But as I looked a little deeper, I think he's going to struggle. I think the batting average is going to be an issue. He hit 296 last year. I would go way, way under on that.
Okay, I can see it. I'm actually kind of like him, but you're right. He doesn't make like Kwan-like contact either. So if you're going to swing that much, you got to be probably at 15% K rate. Yeah. You know, 19.6% last year. And if he gets found out a little bit more, yeah, I could see that being a problem. So yeah, that might be a player I need to adjust downward a little bit there.
I was surprised by it, but you know, it's why I enjoy doing this. I enjoy looking at players and looking into it. He was someone that when I looked at the price and I put him on the spreadsheet, I'm like, that's gonna be someone I'm gonna like. I don't love his approach. I think he's gonna struggle this year.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
A guy that I also think might struggle is interesting. I want to hear your thought on this, because this is a huge prospect, is Riley Green in Detroit. Last year, he had 418 plate appearances, hit 253. No pop at all. He had five home runs, and he only had one stolen base, too. Solid hard hit rate, 45%. Barrel rate, 9.3%. So those pretty good numbers right there. Fly ball rate killed his power. He only had 24% fly ball rate. Where are you at Riley Green? Because I just worry about the strikeouts. They were high in the minors too. Like, everyone's why he was 29% last year, and you look always and you look down, you're like, oh, well, he was, you know, 19% in the minors. That's fine. But he had a couple of years of 27, 25, 27 in the minors. I worry he's just going to strike out a ton.
Yeah, he will. I mean, I want to be able to boost him because the ballpark changes.
Yeah.
I want to, and I think there's, you know, I think sometimes we have a problem of like looking back and saying that is that player. But then again, you know, without finding the proper, you know, like advancement. But then again, then you go into wish casting a little bit, right?
You do, and I really like him. He's fun to watch. He's really fun in center field. He hit 202 with a 35% whiff rate on breaking balls last year. I don't think he's ready to hit yet.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I don't have that aggressive a projection for him. So
what is your projection for him?
Like nine homers.
Oh, that's low then. You're lower than the Masters.
256 batting average. You know, it's pretty tame.
Someone in the chat asked about Gavin Lux. I promise he is on the list tonight, so he's coming up in a little bit here.
Okay.
I mean, you look at like Steamers at 13 home runs. The Bat X is 13. So yeah, you're.
But nine to 13, really? I mean, does it matter?
No, I'm saying you're not. You're in the same range. You're definitely not optimistic on him for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if he hits 255 with 12 home runs and steals five, like, he can't play that, right?
Yeah, it's hard to. I want to like him a lot too.
I do too. I thought I would when I looked at it, but we're talking fantasy here. I wonder that it's just hard to play a guy that doesn't hit for a bunch of home runs or steal a bunch of bases. Like, he better score a lot of runs and plays in Detroit, and I just don't see it. Or he's got to hit for a high average, and he's not going to do that. He is going to hit, you know, mm-hmm. 250 or something. I find it hard to get behind him fantasy wise at that price. Where you're still in like the 13th, 14th round. We got some good players.
Yeah, exactly.
So back to back guys I didn't like. So CJ Abrams in Washington. He got traded in the deal with the Padres there. So made his debut last year. He hit 246 with two homers and seven steals. 302 plate appearances, obviously a lot. He's a big prospect guy, a lot of prospect hype here. He was had a good year in 20, had 13 stolen bases in 2021 in only 42 games. So he is a speed guy. He is fast, 91st percentile sprint speed. He appears to be the starting shortstop in Washington. There are some, if you look at roster resource, they have him hitting second right now. So that's something that becomes interesting. I don't know if he's ready to hit in the majors either. He kind of falls in this range here. I don't think he's quite ready to hit enough for me.
Yeah. You, this is the hater portion of the show.
I apologize. When you get young guys, you're gonna get some guys we like. We had the beginning, but there's a stretch here of guys that don't really love.
Abrams is going to play. I think, you know, and guys that play a lot, they're young, they could get it and they could advance past what their stats have said in the past, but he's not showing any signs of it. He didn't have any homers with the Nationals. He had 6 stolen bases with them in 44 games. Okay, great. 1 walk, 23 Ks. And that's in 163 plate appearances. That's a problem.
Yeah, what 1.7% walk rate is a problem.
Yeah. And I know we don't play in OBP leagues, but that matters when teams are evaluating. I mean, he could go back down to the minors. I mean, he probably won't, but, you know, just – and he was only 21 last year.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd go with the probably won't.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like he's got a triple-A stretch in his future here.
Yeah, I think he may need that. He may need again, the confidence.
And maybe the team, just they figure he's 22. We're not going anywhere. Let's play him and get a lot of season. That's very possible. He is fast. He could steal, you know, 20, 25 bags, and that's gonna help. But again, we're talking about a range. His ADP is 214. There are a lot of good players in these ranges, and I don't see myself clicking his name in this range.
I haven't yet. 214 is pretty high for someone like that. Yeah, I need him around 300 before I'm going to get him there, I think.
Yeah, I think he's too sexy of a name to get to 300 too.
Agreed.
In Texas, we have another guy got called up last year. We got a lot of young guys on this list. Josh Jung in Texas. It was a rough debut, but it was a quick debut. He only had 102 plate appearances, hit 204, struck out 38% of the time. That was a huge issue. But he's a guy we talked about. I think it was Riley Green. We talked about, you know, the minor league strikeout rates were high. Also, Jung's were not. He had you look at single A, double A, triple A. You know, low 20s, high teens. So maybe this was a first time around stretch here. That a barrel rate over 10%. So he did barrel up some balls. Swinging strike rate is high in the minors, but the strikeout rate wasn't. Where are you on Josh Jung in Texas? Looks like he has a job and should play. Hit the bottom half of the lineup, but should play.
The K's are super scary, but at the same time, yeah, like you alluded, was in the minors. The hard hit rate is impressive. The other thing is, too, it's just like I felt he was rushed when he got called up. I was really surprised the Rangers even gave him a look, given, you know, they were talking at one point, out for the year with these shoulder and foot injuries. And then, he's back and we're going to call him up even. And I think they were doing that for this year in mind. He took his lumps last year, 42, you know, he had a 42% hard hit rate. I mean, that's a triple-A, so. Yeah, I think I'll have some of Jung. I mean, I understand he could go Joey Gallo on us, but
yep,
you know, he might also just get it. You know, the pedigree is clearly there. You should be targeting him in Dynasty and keeper leagues, I think, because especially if you don't get to keep him as a minor leaguer last year yet, because like and he had 26 games in the majors last year, 102 plate appearances in a lot of leagues. That means you don't get to keep that.
And he's a little different for me than Abrams because he's 25. I think they're going to leave him up and let him hit. I mean, you look at 2021 in the minors. I mean, he hit 19 home runs in, what is that? I'm doing the math really fast in my head. 78 games. Like, that's a crazy power. He's got clearly shown the power. He's shown that. And he just I jumped into this thinking I'm like, oh, it's a 38% strike rate. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to pass on this and move on. And I think I'm a little interested in this than I am the three guys before him.
Yeah.
A few more hitters I want to talk about, but first a note from our sponsors at Fantrax. Fantrax is the most customizable fantasy platform in the industry, offering the greatest fantasy experience for all kinds of baseball leagues, whether it be Dynasty, Keeper, Redraft, and Best Ball leagues. Are you coming from another service? Fantrax makes that easy as well, as you can import any of your current leagues and customize as needed. Fantrax offers the most in-depth player pool in the industry, including minor league players. Need a customizable commissioner service for your fantasy league? Fantrax offers more customization than any other platform. From scoring system to FAB to head-to-head scheduling, all kinds of different various categories you can play. Fantrax offers custom solutions – for all that and more, and it's all free. Sign up for free today. Enter to win an official MLB signed jersey from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Simply go to Fantrax.com/RotoWire and sign up today. That's Fantrax, FANTRAX.com/RotoWire. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. So, Jeff, I'm enjoying all these mid-round hitters. I think I'm going to push late pitchers to next week, if that's that's good there. I just we had a lot of pitchers I'm going to talk about, so I just don't want to rush through anybody. I mean, these are a good range of hitters here, so I got some more guys to talk about. So if that's fine with you, I think we'll just push pitchers to next week if you're good.
I think it's good to retain our focus that way, yep, and not rush through the pitchers and give it short shrift.
I think those pitches are really important this year too. So I think I want to do that. So sticking with hitters, we got pick 220 here is one of the more fascinating fantasy players this year. We're talking the 15th round here. We've got Estuary Ruiz for my bashing Oakland A's, the swinging A's. You listen to quotes from, you know, David Force, their general manager. Sounds like they want him to play center field. Christian Pache is clearly out of the mix. He's out of options. I don't know what's going to happen with Pache, but can't hit. It was very clear he couldn't hit last year. Can't play the outfield, but they're talking about Ruiz playing center field. He's 24. I knew he was fast. Jeff, he had 85 stolen bases last year. Like that is a crazy number. I was doing the math. I looked up and I'm like, oh, there must be different minor league seasons. I'm like, those were all, he had 37 in double A, then 23 in triple A with the Padres, then 25 in triple A with the Brewers. Like, that's a crazy number in 114 games. He also hit 332 last year in the minors. He is getting a ton of buzz. He is moving up. I think he's going to keep moving up. He feels to me like if you're screwed in stolen bases in round 13, 14, like you're going to have to jump. And there's going to be two or three teams that need to jump, and everybody's going to jump for this guy. Do you think he can hit enough? He's only got 36 plate appearances in the majors, so really nothing to look at there. I mean, hit 171, but it's 36 plate appearances. I can't imagine we really care there. In 2021, I jumped back. He played in double A. He played 353 plate appearances in double A, hit 249 only. So the batting average is a big bump last year, but 10 home runs and 36 steals. So he's not a, you know, rabbit who can't hit either. He had 16 home runs in the minors last year too. He was 1685. What the heck do we do with this dude?
We watch as he climbs to like 150 or something like that.
I tell you, it's going to be, if you don't have steals, you better jump him because someone else in your league is going to. He's like that guy to answer your stolen base problem.
So I want people to jump him.
All because right. Nice. Spicy. I like it.
Don't think he's going to hit. Okay. I feel like, you know, I understand the batting averages were high last year. El Paso, beautiful place to hit.
He walked last year too, which is great for a guy that runs.
I think teams are going to say, we're going to make you hit home run, hit for power here.
I would assume guys aren't going to walk him in the majors.
I think he will not get walked a lot. I think he's going to find, the catchers with release times that are super fast and pitchers that can hold him on better. I've got him projected for 18 stolen bases. So,
wow.
Well,
okay. That's low.
It is. And I might bump him up playing time a little bit more, but I don't.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying if you look at projections like that, you're on the lower end for sure.
I am. Because I think he's Billy Hamilton. I think he's something in that range. Maybe he's got more pop than I'm giving him credit.
Billy Hamilton probably didn't hit 600 home runs his whole life, right?
I wonder what he did in the minors. I think he showed some. I got to look this up now.
While you're doing that, I'm just gonna let you know. I'm looking at some of these projections here. Yeah, they're like most like Bad X is at 21, Steamer's at 27. I know our friend Vlad Sedler, his projections has him in the, I think he has him in the 30s range. So, you're definitely not gonna be one that's pushing him up then.
I'm selling Ruiz a little short on power. Hamilton topped at 6 in the minor. Okay. So
four of those were inside the park.
Probably. Hamilton at one point also was a shortstop too. So
and stole 100-something bases.
Too, yeah, right? So he was insane.
Crazy steals.
I don't think I really want Abrams or Ruiz for the price. I really think Ruiz is going to get, especially if he does anything at all spring training, I think he's going to get super expensive. And I don't want to be a part of that.
He's going to steal two bases in that first spring training game. It's going to get dome. But I would rather have Ruiz than Abrams. I just think he can hit a little bit more. And I think the stolen base upside is so significantly higher. So I know he goes later, but
I agree with that, by the way. Definitely.
I have no real, I should because I'm an A's fan, but I don't want to admit that publicly. And I don't know if I am anymore, but
you'll be back when they care again. Unless they move to Vegas, then.
By the way, if they move to Vegas, I think I'm out.
Yeah. And that's fair.
Just because I hate the ownership so much, I don't think I could do it.
By the way, I'm going to bump up Ruiz. He's going to get a little bit more a little bit more stolen base, a little bit more playing time too.
The interesting thing with Ruiz, like, say if he gets hot, like he probably starts hitting bottom of the order. If he gets hot at all, like, there's so much room to move up there. I mean, the A's have Tony Kemp hitting leadoff right now. Like, you can replace that pretty easily. Ramon Laureano's going to get traded. Nick Allen is a great fielder, can't hit. There's so many guys he can move ahead of really quickly here. Jace Peterson is now predicted to hit fifth, like, friggin' joke if you ask me. But Jace Peterson can't hit. But I think there's a lot of ways he could, like, just find a way to get to the top of the lineup. And when you get a guy that runs, all you want as many at-bats as possible.
Correct.
Fascinating guy this year.
I'm giving him 22 stolen bases now, for what it's worth, and a little bit more playing time to go with that. I think I was a little light on that, but I'm not giving him 500 plate appearances.
Someone mentioned in the chat that Ramon Laureano was supposed to get traded over a year ago. Yeah, he was so bad that I think they and banged up, and then he got suspended
and cheating.
I think that they just want, like, a hot month, and they will trade him. They'll trade anything they can move. I just think they were trying their best to not trade fully low on Laureano.
Yeah. I just, the history of, like, the, you know, Anthony Gialdi, made a good point. You know, starting pitching in small bases get pumped up in the mains is true. Of those guys that get pumped up, how often do they deliver? Almost never.
So rarely.
On the stolen base side.
Yeah, I'll say it because I know you don't want to troll me on it, but Delino DeShields is the prime example there.
We've all had that version of a player, though.
There was a couple of Billy Hamilton years where he went insane. There was the theory that you just draft Billy Hamilton and don't draft any other steals the rest of the way.
Who's the Arizona guy that was such a bad hitter?
Tony Womack? No, that's all right.
No, more recent than that.
Tyke Redmond? That's Pittsburgh. That's a good question. I don't know.
I thought it was Arizona, but I know it was the type of guy who got called up and then had, like, four stolen bases in a game and is on everybody's bench.
I know. I think it is Arizona. You're right. I just can't think of what his name is.
Oh, it's going to bug me. I'm going to have to try to figure this out backwards.
How long are we talking? Like,
we're like 5 years ago. Like, yeah, recent. I'll be on. Yeah. Let's keep talking. I'll find it. And because it's going to bother me. And, you know, I know the dozens of listeners that care about this are going to, I'm overstating the case. It's not even that.
Jared Dyson.
No, but that's the type of player. No, there's another guy.
Tim LaCastro.
No.
That's maybe two Arizona guys who had 50 stolen bases in 2019.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that, but it's not him. He got that push and we're like, oh yeah. And then he's like out of baseball now. I mean, it was it was like super fast. All right. I will find you.
It does happen. It does happen pretty fast. You're right. Those are the guys that get pushed up. I think, like I said before, you're just going to get situations where people are going to need steals, and you're like, oh, if I don't take him now, someone else is going to grab him, and it just it gets really tough really fast there. So he's one of the more interesting guys. I think his ADP is going to be all over the place as people figure that out.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think it was the Diamondbacks, by the way, because I went back a few years and I don't see anybody.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So I'm going to start like 2019.
I thought I had it with Jared Dyson.
Malik Smith.
He was Seattle, right?
He was Seattle. He was with a couple of teams, I thought. But
I picked him up that year. He went crazy. And then next year, he went way up. That's
Tampa Bay before that. And then broke in with
really,
the
that's a
That's 2020. And he hasn't been in the majors since then. So that's how quickly it can go.
40 like steals in 2018, 46 in 2019, and then two his rest of his career.
Yep.
That's a good comment right there. I like that.
Yeah. So you can get if you get it right, you get lightning in a bottle, you get those 40 stolen bases. It's huge. But
I mean, he's round 15 right now, and I think your point is probably the most important here. He's gonna be like round 10 or 11.
Yeah, and if he is, and I'm out. If he's at 15, okay. Maybe then I'll take a look at taking Estuary Ruiz. But, you know, we have to find stolen base guys. Yep. We have to. I mean, I understand. And it's a weakness of mine. It's probably one that I don't value enough. But I think it's the whole takeaway is I probably need to value it earlier.
Someone in the chat asked about Corbin Carroll. We talked about him 2 weeks ago on the podcast. But spoiler alert, we both really like him.
Yes.
Pick 225. We had someone that someone asked about earlier. We had him on the list already. Gavin Lux in LA. The way the offseason worked out, it looks like he finally has a full starting job. He's going to be their shortstop by all accounts here. They have not they're not really signed anybody to fill that mix. He's a weird guy, Jeff. I'm hoping you have some words of wisdom for me here. He had 471 plate appearances last year, hit 276. You're like, all right, sound out. We're starting off pretty good. 6 home runs, 7 stolen bases, hard hit rate under 40%. Barrel rate was up, but still 6.1%. And this 276 was really boosted by a 341 BABIP, so he got pretty lucky there too. Fly ball rate's under 30%. Hard hit rate, exit velocity, and barrel rate are all under 50th percentile last year. Exit velo and barrel rate under 33rd percentile last year. I think we all remember clips of him hitting absolute jacks in the minors and like, this is a sure thing, but he did not hit for much pop last year. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing with him in the mid round here.
I think you're probably passing is my guess, but just the way you framed the question. I mean,
I know, I don't want to miss it. And that's a stupid way to look at it, but I feel like he's just such a pedigree guy, but oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think like
he's not shown it yet.
In fact, the fly ball percentage keeps dwindling. And line drive percentage, went up a little bit, but
it's 1,000 plate appearances now too. So it's not like he was up for 35 games like some of these guys we talked about earlier.
And I'm concerned defensively. I mean, this is a guy that had a little bit of touch of throwing yips last year from second base. Maybe they think full throws at short.
I was gonna say, put him a shortstop. That'll be perfect.
Maybe it's just the short throw. Sometimes it gets in players' heads. I mean, I'm thinking of Knobloch as the example, but. I think that Gavin Lux has got an opportunity here. They have Miguel Rojas. The Dodgers are not bereft of options.
Yeah.
They traded for Rojas too. It's not like he just like, oh, okay, we'll add him on. No, they gave up something of value for him. So to me, that's an indication that they're concerned of whether Lux can handle the job. And late innings, you might see Rojas in there more at shortstop, and Lux will either go to the bench or go, shift positions. But they've never really been able to fully buy into Gavin Lux. They always kind of move him around. He doesn't play all the time.
You're kind of in the same spot as me trying to figure out. So someone asked the chat, Lux or Bryson Stott?
It's a good question. I think you like Stott, don't you?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
I don't like Stott.
I was talking to someone that likes Stott.
Yeah. Jeff, I thought you kept our conversations more close to the heart, and I thought you remembered everything I said.
Yeah, everything. Well, Stott's 30 picks later. Does that help?
Because interesting. In DCs, they're about the same price.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about guys doing with the ball hard. Stott had a 4% barrel rate last year. I think they're kind of fall in the same boat. I just think
hashtag neither.
Yeah, it might be hashtag neither. I think I'd go Lux if I had to pick between the two, though.
Fair enough. I mean, both are good lineups, though. Both are teams that should score a lot of runs.
Both are pedigree guys. Both are pretty big prospects. Lux was an elite prospect. I think I probably buy in the pedigree a teeny bit more where I think maybe it's coming, but it's hard. I have to, it's a leap of faith because it's, he hasn't shown it yet in 1,000 plate appearances at all.
I think the analysis of Lux would be so much different if he didn't come into the game as an elite prospect.
I think that's a very good point and something that at some point it goes away because he's not that guy. Right.
Nick Senzel's on line 3.
did he wheelchair up? Sorry, I shouldn't do that to your own team, but sorry.
It's okay. I have had many an A's joke at your expense.
You have, and so have I, but they suck. Yeah. Three more guys before we jump out of here real quick. Another young guy, Tristan Casas. Is Casas or Casas? Help me out.
Uh-huh.
Tristan Casas in Boston. He was up for a little bit last year. Did not do much. I think he was only like 95 plate appearances, but in the minors, 273. 11 home runs, 317 plate appearances. He had 5 home runs in the majors when he got called up and only 95 plate appearances. Boston seems pretty committed to this guy. There's a lot of quotes from Alex Cora that he's our first baseman. We know he can hit. It's just a matter of getting him comfortable and letting him hit. He lost 20 pounds in the offseason. Of course, we got best shape of your life going on here. I like that he's not a strikeout guy in the minors. He was 24% when he got called up, and again, 95 plate appearances. But he was 21% in AAA in 2022. He was a little bit less than that the year before in 2021 across AA and AAA. So maybe that helps with the batting average a little bit. He's a massive walk guy, like a huge, huge walk guy. He was 14.5% in AAA last year. He's like above that in 2021. So he's going to get on base. That helps him stay in the lineup. Where are you in Casas? ADP looks like it's about 236.
Yeah, I'm okay taking some chances there. You know he's going to play, right?
It's huge.
Yeah, so he's a take-and-rake sort of guy. He's I don't know if, you know, he might be the type of player they're trying to prevent in a way, though, as far as like three true outcomes, right?
Right. Somewhere Jack Cust is offended. They're trying to get him out of the game.
Yeah, exactly. So
my wife once glared at me so hard I would yell at Jack Cust in the outfield so loud during a game once. She was not pleased with me.
Was it because literally, it was Jack Cust, or because you were yelling like an idiot?
Yelling like an idiot. Literally dropped a routine fly ball in a game in Anaheim.
Worse than Jeff McNeil as an outfielder.
Way worse than Jeff McNeil. This was
he was out there in the outfield shedding a silent tear. Hey, that hurt.
He was so bad in the outfield. I usually don't yell at people, but I was like frustrated and probably had a bad day, and I took it out of Jack Cust.
Yeah,
I kind of like Cassis here too. I think that the walks keep him in the lineup. I think that you know, if he struggles a little bit, he'll get on base enough where they'll be like, oh, he's getting on base at 340, 350. You know, even if he's hitting 230, we can keep him in the lineup. And I think he's going to hit a little bit. I'm kind of interested in this one. I like the playing time. I like, you know, 23 just seems like a good time to, you know, finally, you know, get your shot and stick there. I'm kind of in at this price. I didn't know if I was going to be, but I think I am.
Yeah, I think so too. He's got such a weird statistical profile, and you know, it to the point where it kind of messed up my projections a little bit too, because you know, his walks were all over the place. Like, I tried to bump his playing time, but that gave him 100 walks, and that's just too many. But he could get in the 80s, though.
I think he could too.
Would you really be shocked if that were the case? I mean,
no, I wouldn't be. I mean, from what I've seen, looking at his profile, no, I wouldn't be. I think that's part of what he does.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing with, like, they have a weird bunch of guys like that that are like Alberto Mondesi is the same thing. You know, he could have.
It sounds like they want to run too in Boston. They were saying they want Kiki Hernandez and Alex Verdugo to run more this year.
Yeah, and if Mondesi plays, you know, that blah blah blah. You know, there's a lot of if is doing a lot of work there, but he's another guy that, you know, he could be a pinch runner extraordinaire too. There's a lot of, and then that's not even with looking at the pitching staff. You want to talk about aberrational? I mean, Chris Sale, James Paxton. Yeah, what sort of variance could you have there? You know, just you look at the entire starting rotation there.
You can have 350 innings or six.
Yeah, does Whitlock stick as a starter? Does what's his name?
Oh, I forgot they have Corey Kluber on their team.
Yeah, Kluber. What does he do? What is Even Nick Pivetta is hurt right now. Tanner Houck, is he a starter? Brian Bello, is he in the majors? Is he in the minors? I mean,
he's got some injury stuff already too. I kind of like that profile. Apparently he was working with Pedro in the offseason. He's got like a little forearm soreness that never leads to anything bad, right? He's
supposed to throw off flat ground tomorrow, so we'll see.
Great. Well, I've heard that before. I hope he does, because I think it's like a fun little profile. It was one of the late pitchers that we would tease for next week. But two more guys here. A guy that doesn't walk a lot but does hit the ball hard is next. Brian Dela Cruz in Miami. Last year he got called up. I guess he was up in 2021 with Miami for a little bit, for about 219 plate appearances. Last year, 355 plate appearances, hit 252, 13 home runs, 43 RBI. But you look at his hard contact, I mean, that's what everybody's looking at. 47% hard hit rate, 12% barrel rate. The K rate to touch high. It was 25% in the majors. It's weird though, because he hit the ball really hard in the majors, but never been a big power guy in the minors. You look at his minor league record and like 12 home runs is highest before the 13 last year. So I don't know, maybe he figured something out. Maybe he bulked up a little bit. Maybe he did whatever it else is. But you look at his StatCast little page. 90th percentile ex-WOBA, 96th percentile expected batting average, 94th percentile ex-slug. This dude hits the ball hard.
He does.
His ADP is 240. Like, you're getting to spots here where if you like somebody, it's the price is not too high. I mean, he hits the ball. He really rakes.
He does. But where does he start?
Left field?
Jesus. Our depth charts, you know, you may not be right, but we have Sanchez starting left, Chisholm in center, and Abascal Garcia in right, Solera DH. Now, there's a lot of things that could be all over the place on that. Garcia was horrible last year.
So was Jesus Sanchez. Jesus Sanchez had 280 OBP last year.
Yeah, I mean, he could start in front of any one of these guys.
He's got the left-handed edge. He's got the left-handed Soler, Garcia, and Dela Cruz are righties. So that's not great for platooning.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Marlins are still a work in progress and where everybody's going to play a little bit too.
You got John Birdie that can play some left field too, right?
Yeah, and Peyton Burdick, and they no longer have J.J. Bleda, so there's that. But
he's hitting 45 home runs in Oakland. Of course he's not
there. Of course, the swinging A's.
Yeah, gonna mash.
Bash Brothers.
Garrett Cooper's still there too. Like I just, they're a weird mix of just a lot of guys. Their outfield situations, and that's the thing with De La Cruz is we just don't know, but they weirdly have some depth in the outfield, although none of it's very good except for Jazz.
Yeah, I wanted to De La Cruz to be a thing last year, and it kind of wasn't. They just didn't give him the chance, but till late, and then it was kind of like, oh yes, look what he did in August and September. Kind of feel like he's one of those guys.
And guys like that are so frustrating because you like him, but you pick him up or you draft him, and you can't play him because they play two out of every four days or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's just tough. But
exactly,
tell you what, that hard hit profile. If anybody's looking at that in the Marlins front office, it's impressive.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm assuming they are, but you never know with the Marlins. Although Kim Ng is there now, and she's really good.
She's been there for a while.
But she wasn't – I guess Jeter was running it. Was she running it when he was there?
I don't know how much say she had, but Jeter's been gone for a full season now, though.
I guess he has. Yeah, I was trying to come up with a reason. But, yeah, it's a weird spot. If it looks like he's going to play, I think that – I think he's really interesting just from a pure, like, hits the ball really hard standpoint this late in the draft. I always like grabbing guys like that.
Sure.
Sometimes they turn into Teoscar Hernandez, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, that's a good tale. I like that one.
Yeah, it doesn't have quite the Teoscar speed that you get the stolen bases from, but you know, the guys that strike out a bunch hit the ball really hard, sometimes they become really bad, but sometimes they become pretty darn good too.
Well, since you mentioned him, and you know, you and I can't get enough Teoscar talk, what do you think about Teoscar in Seattle?
I just love the profile. I mean, last year he smoked the ball. I know it was not great, but 53% hard hit rate, 15% braille rate. I'm just so scared by the Jesse Winker experience that I'm a little wary, but I think I'm back in at the discounted price on Teo. What's the,
they're different players like, though.
They're very different. You can't let one guy, like there's plenty of guys that hit in Seattle. But ADP 75, it was like 30 last year. I think I'm fully back in.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm in too. I am scared about the ballpark a little bit, but he is right-handed. He's fast. You don't have that as a Winker problem. And there's a lot of after the fact or even during the fact, but kind of quietly that Winker had an attitude issue, wasn't working hard to get back and all that. I've never heard of a similar thing for Teoscar. Teoscar was hurt some of the beginning of the year last year. So I think I could have some Teoscar.
He swings and misses a ton. There's going to be a lot of strikeouts, but I just like the fact that all the hard hit metrics are exactly the same as they were when he was awesome.
Yep.
Last guy I want to ask you about, you mentioned him actually earlier, we were talking about Danny Jansen, but Gabriel Moreno got traded from Toronto to Arizona. Mm-hmm. ADP is 250. In the minors last year, he did hit 315, not a lot of pop. He had three home runs. He had seven stolen bases and 267 plate appearances. Didn't do much in the majors, but only had 73 plate appearances. Did hit 319. Nice K rate, though. He struck out. He didn't strike out all in the majors, but it was, you know, look at more at bats. You look at AAA. He had a 70% strikeout rate. He was lower in A and AA. I really like taking a shot on the talent here. I mean, this is a pedigree guy. This is someone that does not strike out. I love that with a catcher.
Yeah.
You build that batting average floor in. My concern is I read some stories, and it's like, oh, well, we have Carson Kelly. We're going to be able to ease Moreno in, and that freaks me out a little bit.
They always say that with young players, though.
Right? Like, they can't really – like, if he's doing well, they can't really let Carson Kelly block him, right?
Right. Well, the question is, what if Kelly starts off well? You know, that's the issue.
And he does have some weird streaky moments where Carson Kelly looks good for, like, 3 weeks.
But, my God, they traded away Dalton Varsho for him.
Yeah.
I think that's got to be a controlling factor.
You would think. You trade away probably their best player last year, right?
Yeah. And I understand it wasn't just for him. It was also Lourdes Gurriel. But
if I'm missing someone. But yeah, probably their best, I guess, Christian Walker. But like probably their best overall player. You're right. They trade him. And I just read these quotes and like ease him. But you're right. Maybe they're just saying that to take the pressure off him in spring. But at 250, I really like this profile. It's like if you just missed catcher and you want to get him as your catcher one, or if you want to, you know, you took one early and you want to double up here and not wait too late. I think this is kind of the spot where if you're going to get someone that still is pretty good, you know, otherwise if it past this point, you're probably punting a little bit. We'll talk about late catchers here at some point, but
yeah.
I like taking a bet on the talent at this price. I usually don't get a catcher in here, but this is one that, you know, we had some guys earlier I thought I'd be out or in on, and I was out on. This is one that I didn't think I'd have much interest in, but I just, I think I'm good betting on the talent here at the price.
Yeah, I am too. And I think the playing time will come. You're going to have to be patient, though.
Yeah.
Especially the Diamondbacks are going to have to be patient.
Which is frustrating to deal with as a fantasy player for a catcher. It's just like you can't like sit him on the bench because you don't want three catchers. But you got to be, you're right, you have to be patient because whoever you pick up is not going to be any good anyway.
Yeah.
Are you in on the price? How do you feel about him?
I am. I think I already have gotten him, I think, in the 12s. I've got a draft coming up tomorrow. I'm in labor, labor league.
Online. You're not like flying to New York for this, right?
No. I should say like real time. It's not like in person live. But
is there a New York labor weekend still?
Labor is Florida. Tout Wars is New York.
Okay. Oh, I got you.
I will be going to New York.
Labor's during the baseball HQ Florida first pitch thing, right?
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct. So Tuesday night, instead of our usual podcast, Fred and I are going to live draft. We're going to live stream during their draft, and Joe Sheehan's going to join us.
Oh, nice.
He's also in the league, so, and who knows, maybe others.
Do you know what your draft slot is yet?
I do. I'm eighth. Fred is first, and nice. Joe is 13th. So
oh, Fred's. Oh, I thought you and Fred were splitting a team. Oh, that'll be fun because you guys are different parts of the draft. So that way, if someone's picking or something, the other person could talk. That works out pretty well.
Exactly.
Oh, nice. That'd be fun. I might have to tune in for that.
Yeah. Good. I hope you do.
I listen to you guys normally. I don't know Fred personally, but I really like him on all the podcasts. But he comes across really well. He's really good at that.
He is. You guys need to meet.
He's an unbelievable player too. Every league I've ever been with him is like, oh, well, Fred's in this league. This is gonna be freaking hard. He's a really good player.
And he's an unbelievably nice guy too.
Oh, see, I don't know personally, but I you have a good judge of character, so I will believe you on that one.
All right, good, yay.
Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. There's a lot of comments, a lot of questions in the chat. We also really like that. It's also really always really fun when that's going on. Sorry we didn't get to pitchers, but we'll just save that for next week. We'll do pitchers and we'll do something else next week. I just want to rush through that because there's some important pitchers down there, and that's kind of where you get some gems. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Fantrax and Underdog for their sponsorship of the podcast. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jensted. Other than that, we'll be back at you next Sunday night. Hope everybody has a really good week, and we'll talk to you then. Take care.